What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that intersect, confront, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Daniel Pettis. Daniel is a junior at Indian River State College. He's into school and advocacy and science and sports. Mary Power is a junior at Seminole State College. Her interests are advocacy, social work, and family. Kanisha Anthony. Kanisha is a sophomore at Miami-Dade College. She's into school and advocacy and shopping.
Hello.
And so, hi. Dames is a student at FAMU. She is a freshman, and her interests include advocating, writing, dancing.
Hi.
Glad to have you. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Brown. Kirk Brown is the VP of Program and Development for the Handy Incorporation. He also is the Broward Chapter Mentor for Florida Youth Shine.
Hi.
Glad to have all of you. Florida Youth Shine, Striving High for Independence and Empowerment, is a youth-run organization with representation from across the state. Membership is composed of teens and young adults between the ages of 13 to 24 who are current or former foster youth in Florida child welfare system. Their mission as advocates is to empower, improve, educate, and support the growth of tomorrow's leaders through the combined knowledge and experience of today's youth and supporters. Their goal is to share their stories and experience in order to improve the system of care for their brothers and sisters currently in care and those who have yet to enter care. Last year, legislative session passed the normalcy law and extending foster care until 21. However, youth in foster care have many obstacles in getting driver's license. The second Youth Shine come to the Capitol to advocate for issues important to foster youth. A recent bill passed called the Keys to Independence Act attempts to equalize the balance between safety and opportunity for foster children and promotes age-appropriate normal activities, including opportunity to participate in driver's education courses and to obtain driver's license. Florida Youth Shine, how did it evolve? Tell us about it.
It all started with the organization Florida Children's First. Mm-hmm. They were going to bat across the state for the youth. And what they realized when they started coming upon the same problems consistently is that it was an issue with the system and these aren't individual cases. So they tried to advocate, you know, for like adult to adult. They had their committees and meetings, and nothing really had quite the impact as when they brought a young child in and the young child simply stated what was going on and it moved everyone. And then they realized that the voice needed to come from the youth. And that's when they started the first chapter in 2005. And from there, it's had such a good impact that it's grown into 12 chapters across the state, 05 to 2015. It's almost coming up on a decade old. We passed two bills last year and looking to pass two more this year. Okay. And there's a bright future ahead of us, hopefully.
Well, I definitely salute you, and I'm really glad to have you on the program. You all were here, our representatives of Youth Shine were here last year. So I'm glad to have you. Now, all of you have been in or are currently in the Florida child welfare system, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you share some of the circumstances that led you to foster placement?
Well, for me, I came from, like, a broken home. I only had a mother, and she didn't quite know how to deal with being by herself. So she turned to, like, you know, drugs and alcohol, and then she became abusive. And then once people started finding out, I think I went to school one day, and one of my teachers saw it, and then I was removed from the home.
Okay.
So, hi, I'm Kanisha. I got in the child welfare system because I lost both of my parents due to drug addictions. So my family, they realized that it wasn't in my best interest, and me, my sisters, and my brothers, we were placed into foster care.
Okay. I got into care when I was 17. My mom just decided that her relationship was more important than her daughter. So my mom abandoned me, and I went to foster care.
I'm Daniel, and I got into foster care because my mom, she had an issue with trying to deal with taking care of all three of us. And we were living in, I guess, a state of poverty, you'd call it. And she didn't know how to deal with it, and she would break down and go to turn to drug use to cope with it. I believe that some things could have been taken into action that could have done some preventative things into just removing us right away. But that is how I ended up in care.
Okay. Will you share your experience, or what has it been like, what it was like to be in foster care? You know, I think a lot of people don't have any idea of the changes and the demands and the dictates that you have to live it with. And so I'd like you, you know, to share this for our listening audience so they have a grasp for really what we're talking about.
It's not how you see it on TV. Like, you don't go into foster care and then a nice family comes and picks you up and take you home. It's not like that, especially when you're older. Most of the time, you basically grow up in foster care and the state is your parent. So it is very hard because you don't get to do a lot of things that the other kids get to do. You don't get to, you know, hang out. You have to have permission. You got to go through your guardian line. You got to go through court in order to just spend a night at somebody's house. Like, it's very difficult growing up.
So if a friend of yours is having a slumber party, by the time you jump through all those hoops, the party's over.
Yeah, like, you're like, okay, let's plan, like, 3 months in advance. Like, it's very hard, and you don't really have a childhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What have you experienced or found?
Foster care for me, I was one of many children that was lost in the system. So, like, my caseworkers, they didn't come check up on me. One day they just decided that they wasn't coming anymore. So my life for me, I actually grew up on my own, being in and out of relative care, non-relative care, and foster homes. So basically my life was, I basically made it the best way I can throughout my whole life. So.
Well, I applaud you because you've done well. So that's fantastic that you were able to, you know, be as successful as you have been. I wish you continued success to all of you.
Unfortunately,
folks can't see you. We're on radio. But all of you just are dynamic young folks in spite of what you have had to, you know, endure. What about you, Mary?
When I went into care, I want to say it was 3 or 4 days afterwards I found out that I was pregnant. And I completely lost. I went from having a family, a sense of, you know, mom, siblings, to having nothing at all. I went group home to group home to foster home. I was in care for 8 months, and in those 8 months I had 10 different placements. I completely lost all stability. Like, I could never call.
Wait a minute.
10 placements.
8 months and 10 placements.
And it's crazy because one of those placements actually lasted for 10 months. So you have to consider that it lasted for two months.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 6 months were 9 placements within those 6 months. I didn't stay anywhere longer than 3 weeks. I was never really welcome anywhere that I went. So it was hard. It was really hard. I couldn't make friends, and I was bounced from city to city, not within the same, you know, I had no one. And
wow. It
was hard.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Daniel.
Yeah, I'd like to say that's one of the biggest challenges I think we can all share is kind of one of seclusion. We're almost never allowed to just be comfortable anywhere. And once you do get comfortable, you get pulled out of that, and you get put somewhere else. And once again, you're like an outsider. You never really feel like you're anyone's priority. There's never someone coming in to check up to make sure you're doing the best that you can do. They're just making sure it's good enough.
Wow. Again, I mean, my hat is off to all of you. When you think about the changes that you went through, what would you identify as the most difficult aspect of foster care? You know, now, granted, I understand you went one place to another and, you know, to another, and I know that's difficult. But when you think about it, all of you have made it through. You were successful. Hold your thoughts. We're going to come back, and that's what we'll deal with. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. This edition of 411 Teen features Florida Youth Shine. I just posed a question to you all, asking you to share with us the most difficult, if you were going to identify, the most difficult aspect of being in foster care.
I would have to say that it would be the loss of self. Like, when you're in foster care, you don't really know who you are anymore. Like, you can't identify with anybody. There's, like, nobody for you to latch on to, nobody for you to be friends with, nobody to talk to, and it's like you're by yourself. And when you're young, you really don't know who you are. Like, you don't have any role models or anybody to look up to, so who do you really, like, who are you? When you're in foster care, that's, well, for me, that was the biggest thing.
All right. What about you?
I would have to say that it would be the loss of self. Like, when you're in foster care, you don't really know who you are anymore. Like, you can't identify with anybody. There's, like, nobody for you to latch on to, nobody for you to be friends with, nobody to talk to, and it's like you're by yourself. And when you're young, you really don't know who you are. Like, you don't have any role models or anybody to look up to, so who do you really, like, who are you? When you're in foster care, that's, well, for me, that was the biggest thing.
All right. What about you, Kanisha?
For me, I would say the consistency of disappointment every time you think that things are going to get better, they only get worse. And being a child, it is hard to deal with that. And then it puts you in a dark place where you give up on yourself, you give up on life, and you really think that you really can't be nothing because nobody's here. You see everybody. You see your friends at school, their families at ceremonies, hugging them, congratulating them, and you're just standing there looking like nobody's here for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For me, before I went into care, I had such a strong relationship with my younger siblings. I can remember cooking for them, changing them, bathing them. As a matter of fact, like, we had it hard. I can remember going and doing hair so that I could buy their school clothes. I mean, it was rough for us, but we were together, and even though those were just my siblings, I was mommy. You know, like, those were my babies. And when I went into care, I completely lost them. When I turned 18 and aged out of care is when my sister found out that she had a nephew.
Oh, wow.
So it was hard.
Okay. Daniel.
Yeah, it was just hard feeling like I was alone all the time. When I was younger, I would get a lot better grades, and I would bring them home, and I thought I would get all these congratulations and whatnot, but none of it ever really came, and I felt a loss of motivation to really do my best at anything.
Okay. Now, what would you identify as some of the positives being in foster care? Because it sounds like, you know, you were coming from an environment that was dysfunctional. Even if you loved your family and you missed them and wanted to be with them, your environment was not meeting your needs or their needs. So when you look at foster care, even with its negatives that you may have identified, what are the benefits? What would be some of the benefits that you would identify?
Personally, foster care taught me to be more self-reliant, that at the end of the day, it's my life and it is what I make it. And if I want to get anywhere, then I have to go ahead and put that foot forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
For me, I would say that it taught me to be independent, to believe in myself, knowing that no matter how bad a situation is, better will come. And if you keep pushing forward, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mary.
You know, for me, the positive in going to foster care, actually for me, was that when I aged out, I got a tuition waiver that paid for my schooling because I couldn't afford it otherwise. That was a positive. Like, that was the light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay. Daniel.
For me, I always knew it could be worse. I knew that if anything, it was a structured environment in which I wasn't on the street and that I was still eating. And it led me to things like education. And it taught me the biggest lesson that life really is not fair. And you're going to have to go out and work hard. And you're going to have to put your nose in the dirt and really grind to get what you want out of this life.
So it seems like it fostered some real positive growth in all of you. Now, Daniel, I know when you were giving a kind of synopsis of the evolution of Youth Shine, you mentioned that there were 12 chapters across the state in Florida. Do you know if they're comparable organizations in other states, or is this Youth Shine organization unique to Florida?
Well, I can say we are unique enough that someone from Columbia wanted to do their dissertation on youth-empowered organizations.
Fantastic.
And they chose us.
Okay, that's great. You've mentioned, a couple of you have mentioned, I guess all of you actually have kind of aged out. What do you mean when you say aged out? What happens when you age out?
Once you're 18, you're basically on your own. Because, you know, that's when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're supposed to go to college, get a job. And that's basically what aging out is. Like, once you hit 18 on your 18th birthday.
You make it sound like automatically, as soon as you're 18.
Yeah, as soon as you're 18, on your 18th birthday, that's it. Like, coming up until your 18th birthday, they're getting everything ready, closing all your stuff out. And then on your 18th birthday, that's it.
So that's the magic number, and you know everything at that point, huh? You're supposed to. Okay. Yeah. Did you have something you wanted?
Yeah. Well, last year, happily, you know, we got that change and extended to 21,
yeah,
which is great. But I'm sure that for each of us in this room, it was happy birthday, get out of my house.
Yeah. And that's the way it happened?
Oh, it was happy birthday, get out of my house.
Elaborate on that. Then
it was.
Right. Well, I remember the day I turned 18, I had to move into the garage. Yeah, you're right into the garage. There was some kind of legal issues to where now that I was an adult, I was screwed with their licensing by being in the same room that I had been living in the whole year that. And then I got moved into the garage. So,
but you were able to continue and stay with them?
Shortly. I guess that I don't know if I was supposed to be supplementing what they were getting from the state, but they wanted like a lot of rent that I didn't feel was fair for this garage. It didn't have any AC, and it's Florida, so it got pretty hot in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. And I guess at that point you no longer had a case manager or anybody that was following you, or what happens there?
Nope. All of that is taken away. You don't have a therapist anymore. You don't have a case manager anymore. Like,
what about income? I mean, what if you aren't working? I mean, what? Yes.
So these are some of the issues that were taken into consideration last year when, you know, they heard the normalcy bill and they heard the extension bill in reference to things that happened in the past to some of our young people. And how, as a system, we could grow with the tides of time and make some corrections. So a lot of what we have heard are things that have brought us to this point. But one of the reasons why I'm involved in Florida Youth Shine is the fact that we exist in a system that client satisfaction is not really measured uniquely. So for us, hearing from the young people, how are we doing? What can we make better? Because a lot of these are rules written in the book somewhere. And when they come to the table and they say, look, I lived in a garage, in the same house that I lived in six, you know, forever long. That's not fair. That's not normal. How do we fix that? Hence, you have your normalcy bill and the extension of independent living services. And it's a system in the midst of change where we have legislators to the table. We have DCF to the table. We have the CBCs at the table, changing it as we go forward. But it's I think what have evolved with Florida Youth Shine and the CBCs and DCF and the legislators is that everyone's listening and everyone's willing to turn that curve and make those changes. So our young people, which is our clients, which is your client satisfaction here, have a better stay for the ones behind these young people. So they're not only fighting for themselves, they're fighting for the ones behind them.
Right. Well, I mean, I think out of what you said, that was so positive. You said everyone's listening. And that's important. That says a lot. Because I was going to ask you, how receptive are those that you are talking to? Okay. Why are you here today? What's that? Why are you up here? Why are you here in Tallahassee?
We're here for the younger kids, like for the kids behind us. Because at the end of the day, most of the stuff that we're doing doesn't really affect us. Right. Like we're past
You're
that
past
point.
That.
Yes. It is more for so that kids don't have to grow up how we did and don't have to go through the stuff that we did. And hopefully, you know, we affect them and they make some decisions that can affect that generation and so on and so forth. And it just, you know, it keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. I'm not saying that I want it to be perfect, but, you know, I want somebody to grow up, like kids to grow up with a sense of, like, family and accomplishments, and they don't have to go through the same things that we did. Because it was rough. And I'm pretty sure I don't want my sister to grow up like how I did. So these changes are good.
Other comments?
Yeah, I would just like an equal playing field. Like, I just want the same chance everybody else has had to make their own. I'm not asking for anything special.
Okay. Mary.
I'm here because I believe that we can actually have a perfect system. I do believe that with the help of Congress, with the help of Florida Youth Shine, we can develop a system that will be favorable to our siblings that are in foster care. I believe that we can make a change.
Okay.
In common with Sahai, that the kids that are already in care, coming into care, getting ready to leave care, they should not have to go through things that we went through. So I am here for those behind me and not myself. And everybody talks and not everybody says what they're doing, but everybody's not really being accountable for what's really happening. So people need to be called out.
Okay. Yes, Kurt.
And I'm here for my kids. The kids that are in care. And, you know, at Handy, we have this saying where
Share with us what Handy stands for, please.
Okay, Handy stands for Helping Abused, Neglected, Disadvantaged Youth. It's a transitional independent living program located in Broward County that works with young people ages 10 through 24. Okay. You know, we like to say we try to care. Because, you know, we call it dependency care.
Mm-hmm.
We call it foster care. If you don't care, you shouldn't be a part of it. You know, so we try to put the care in relative care, non-relative care, and foster care. And I'm also here for the social workers. I remember being a social worker, graduating out of FAU and then attending Barry and walking into the system. And I'm standing there, you know, this, I'm going to change the world, fresh out of college, inspired student. And I see some things that needed to be changed. And how do I change that? You know, it's changing it with one kid at a time. You know, before you talk to a kid about algebra, you got to ask them, where did they sleep last night? Did you dream? Right. How was your morning? You know, things you ask your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that philosophy all through the fabric of our organization. So when Florida Youth Shine presented itself in Broward, I was like, you know what? We got to get involved. And we got involved, real deeply involved, because we have some young people that are extremely vocal, because we have taught them that this world moves because they move it. If you look at societal change, society only changes when its young people decide that it's going to change.
You're nodding your head. Do you have something you want to share?
Oh, so hi. Yes. Everything that he said is very, very, very true. Like, I'm glad to first be a part of Handy, then to be a part of Florida Youth Shine. Because I feel like Handy kind of prepared me for Florida Youth Shine. Because Florida Youth Shine is more like advocacy and talking. But I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have Handy. And, like, when I first got in there, I was very shy, not vocal at all. And as you can see today, now I'm just like, listen, I have an opinion. And they taught me that my opinion does matter. Like, I shouldn't be silenced. And
well, as you think about some of the other challenges that you encountered, can you share some of those, just as far as what are the youth that are following behind you, what do they have to anticipate?
Challenges today?
Yes, challenges being in foster care. Because you all have been so very successful. That's what I'm saying. You all have, and again, 411 Teen applauds all of you. And again, thank you for coming. But you've been so successful. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, I guess one of the things that was a big deal for me when I was in foster care is I was separated from my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of lost, like Mary previously said, that I kind of lost the sense of family, because it was like it was always me and her through whatever. Like anything that happened is always me and my sister. So when we were separated, I kind of lost myself. Mm-hmm. But then again, it also did teach me to be independent. Like, at the end of the day, I can't always, like, rely on somebody. I have to do it by myself. And that's what life is about. Because when you die, you go in the grave by yourself. There's no bunk beds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I see a lot more hope for them. Mm-hmm. They're not right out the door now at 18. They have until 21, and if
and
college,
that's thanks to you all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully with this next bill coming up, we can help keep families a lot closer with the sibling rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be really important, because they suffered through it together. They were there for each other when their parents weren't, or when they weren't able to. And that's the one person that should be in their life as much as possible. And that really needs to be a priority.
Okay. Keys to success. Mary, you want to share one of the keys that you – what's made you successful?
I never stopped dreaming, and I never stopped believing that I could be what I want to be. I've had too many people tell me that I can't, and I know that I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know – when I was growing up, my grandfather used to always tell me, persistence, persistence, persistence. And it's kind of stuck in my head. You tell me no, I'm going to, you know, go back and do it again until you say yes. I'm going to bother you, pester you until it's yes. And that's how I am with myself, too. I'm going to pester myself until I, you know, do it, because it matters.
Hold your thoughts. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Joining 411 Teen is Senator Dieter and Representative Albritton. Will you all tell us about the status of the bill in the legislature?
I'll say this morning we passed it out of the Children and Family Services Committee, and it was very well received, and we got unanimous support on the bill. So that's what's happening in the Senate, and I'll let Representative Albritton tell you where we stand in the House.
All right. Thank you. The bill was actually filed this morning, so we expect to have a quick hearing and get it moving. So it's in play right now, and hopefully we'll at some point catch up with where they are in the Senate and move on parallel paths.
Will you share with the listening audience, just give us an overview of the bill?
Well, what the bill does is, you know, our research has shown that our kids in our care, foster kids in our care, are leaving the system, and only 2% of them can drive a car and have a driver's license. The reason being they don't have anyone to put them on their car insurance so that they can be insured and get a license. So under our bill, we have set aside some money in order to help the kids go through driver's ed and to reimburse the foster parents for any extra expense in adding the foster child onto their car insurance. And by doing that, these kids can leave our care having a driver's license, and we're calling this bill the Keys to Independence. It'll help them be independent livers and get a job and do all the things they want to do.
Yes, and I would, that's a very accurate description. Those are the large-scale pieces of the bill that are going to make the difference in the lives of these kids. There are also a couple of things that are kind of technical, really, in the bill and aren't that consequential, but really could be. The first piece is that it really does reward good behavior. So there is a component in the bill to where if your grades have to be good, I guess simply rewards good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, it is written to effectively guarantee some spots in the driving education classes to make sure that they get in the door and they can get the training they need to be a safe driver. And then the third piece would be effectively just legally will allow a 16-year-old to purchase their own insurance. Disability of non-age is what it's called. So I think that touches all the pieces of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. One last thing that I would add is that this is really, Senator Dietert and I ran a child normalcy bill last year that has had a dramatic improvement in the quality of life that foster kids, these wonderful kids, are living today. And this really is just kind of step number two. This is one more thing that research has identified is a hurdle in their pursuit of having a normal childhood.
Well, we certainly thank you and appreciate your sensitivity, because I would say most people are not aware of the restrictions and the limitations under which foster care children exist.
Correct.
I would agree with that, absolutely. And, you know, the hope is, as we continue forward, that we're going to get this thing accomplished this year. And as Senator Dietert said, their first committee unanimous vote, there's a lot of support in Tallahassee. This is something that I think the kids should know. There's a lot of support in the halls of Tallahassee to help them. And I really personally don't believe we'll have to, at the end of the day, figure out at what level we're going to fund it. But all the moving pieces, folks are going to be on board. I don't see, and you, Senator Dietert, may disagree, but I don't see a real hurdle in moving this thing forward and adding one more layer of normalcy for these kids.
Yeah, and it's really good news. I tried to do this bill maybe 15 years ago when I was in the House, and the cost was prohibitive, so it failed. So now that the economy has improved, we have some extra money. As a state, we're willing to spend that extra money on foster care kids to enhance their life however we can.
Now, is this a 3-year pilot program? I remember reading something about it, and I know that 3-year pilot program came up. How does that fit? How does that interface in this?
I think we did it as a 3-year pilot program so then we can gather some data and say, how did it work?
Okay.
Were the kids responsible? Did it result in lots of accidents and irresponsible behavior? Is it something we should continue and extend? And I think it's always good to be able to have a little deadline in the future so you do a look back and make sure it's operating the way we intended it to.
I couldn't agree more. I believe it requires yearly reporting. So once a year over the next 3 years, we're going to be able to take a look at this. And the important point that Senator Dietert brings up is that as we learn more about this, so if you step back and you think, okay, now we see this hurdle that kids have, it's blatant. 2% of these kids are driving. Mm-hmm. So we know it's a significant inhibitor for them having a normal life and kind of having that rite of passage. But what we don't know for sure is that all the pieces that are going to make it the best it can be. Right? This is our first stab mm-hmm. at offering something that can help. And then every year that goes forward, as we learn what didn't work, then we can tweak the law. And at the end of 3 years, when the pilot has finished its course, then hopefully we will have learnings that will get them exactly where we want them to be, and that is to have freedom, to have the liberty to find a job or babysit or something like that. So,
well, we know how important a driver's license is, and I would think that general populace don't realize that that foster children cannot get driver's license.
And as Representative Albritton talked about the bill last year that he sponsored in the House and I did in the Senate, the normalcy bill, what we find with foster care kids is they just want to be like every other kid.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, in high school, generally they go in groups and gas is expensive and you take turns being the driver and picking everybody up. And you're the kid with no driver's license. You can't ever take your turn, and sometimes it kind of eliminates you from the circle. So it's just another continuing way to make them be able to be regular kids.
That's great. And for the listening audience, this bill addresses education. It addresses them getting their license, and it also addresses the insurance. Am I correct, Senator and Representative?
Yes.
Well, we appreciate your time and sharing this information with us, and keep us up to date with what's going on.
Thanks so much, and nice talking to you.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's be sure and let the kids know help's on the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Being removed and placed in foster care is stressful and difficult. It's paramount that the foster kids have normalcy in their placement and everyday lives. The Senate Bill 164, the Quality Parenting for Children in Foster Care, sponsored by the Florida Senator Nancy Dietert of Venice and Florida Representative Ben Albritton, promoted normalcy for children and youth in the out-of-home care and echoed the voices of young people who long to be regular kids like their peers. What does this normalcy bill that passed last year, what does that really mean? I mean, you know, tell us, put it in real words what we're talking about, Daniel.
In real words, it allows the foster parents now to make the same choices that a, quote, normal parent would be able to make for their own children.
Okay. And when you say same choices, give us an example of what you mean.
An example, you don't need a court order to go to a wrestling tournament for myself, or someone else doesn't need approval by a judge to let their kid go on the boat with other kids.
Okay. All right. That's what I mean, because I think, you know, our listening audience, we don't really know. And that's why I asked you to give us examples, you know, because we don't have a feel for exactly what you are talking about. Okay. Mary?
As Daniel said, you know, being able to participate in other activities with the youth,
mm-hmm.
being able to go to sports, you know, being involved
mm-hmm.
in sports. Also, you know, there's things like church lock-ins that some youth want to be involved in.
And so you can't do the...
No, sleepovers, as Sahai was saying. Now, instead of going through a whole three-month court order and having to wait for the next birthday to roll around, you can do it. You know, it makes us feel as if we're not aliens.
Mm-hmm.
One of the crazier things is you are not allowed to get rides from anyone that wasn't approved, a ride in a car.
Like ride home from school?
From school, from practice, to an event. That had to be a specific thing approved. And if someone else couldn't make it, you had to get a caseworker to come out of their way to pick you up.
It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
It is crazy. For me, I would say the normalcy bill is when you turn 18, your parents just don't say, okay, you have to go.
Right.
I mean, normal kids can stay with their parents as long as they need to mm-hmm. until they're ready to be out on their own. It's when I aged out, I was homeless and I didn't have anywhere to go. But I couldn't turn back to foster care. They told me bye. So it gives children a place to be, somewhere to go if they, even if they decide to leave, if they feel that they can't handle the pressure, they always have foster care behind them.
Do you have a transition, like, into independent living? Is that an option? Well, I guess maybe it is now, huh?
It's an option now because my last court date, I explained to the judge and everybody that sits in the courtroom and gives their opinion and state laws. Mm-hmm. I told them that I had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And everybody looked up. To me, I felt like everybody looked up, looked away, mm-hmm. and was like, what you want us to do? Mm-mm. And there's nothing that we can do, so you just have to make it on your own. You are an adult now.
Yes. There's no help. You it's either you got it or you don't. Thank goodness they made the law and they changed it, because like when we were in foster care, it's either you got it or you don't. You know what you're doing or you don't. And that's a hard way to grow up. And thank goodness for the normalcy bill, because now we don't have to do that anymore. Like, we can stay with somebody, we can stay with the parent, we can keep having that close-knit family, mm-hmm. instead of them not being able to support us anymore, and now we have to leave and go ahead and find somewhere else.
Do they help you find someplace else?
No. You're literally by yourself. Like, once you're 18...
So, literally, let me make sure I got this picture clear. I turn 18. I'm gone.
Yep. Bye-bye.
I have no longer any of the supports or resources that I had before I turned 18.
You have, I think, RTI, which is like a monthly stipend. Mm-hmm. But don't you have to like be in school?
That was before last year.
Right,
one of the things that these young people fought very hard last year to fix. Mm-hmm. But there's also agencies that work alongside the CBCs to assist some of the young people to get them to live somewhere, to mm-hmm. show from 17 to 18, to show some of the skill sets that are necessary. But last year, we all admitted, look, they need more time. Everyone needs more time. And I think that's the beauty of the normalcy and the independent living bill that was passed that the young people were talking about around the room. It's also the fact that for the social workers that are in this, this is a good thing for them also, because mm-hmm. they too have wanted their kids to take part in wrestling. They've wanted their kids to have sleepovers. They've wanted not to file, 30 pieces of paperwork so a kid could get a drive in a car or something.
Well, that was my next thing I was going to say. One of the big barriers now is being able to get your driver's license, correct?
Yes.
And that's the issue of today, mm-hmm. correct? That's the hot keys to independence, if that's what it is. Let's talk about that in these last few minutes. Now, how are you restricted with driver's license? You aren't allowed to get a driver's license? Tell us where that stands.
See, the thing is, when you live with somebody else, and like in any normal family, once you hit a certain age and you're on their car insurance, mm-hmm. they have to pay extra. Like, it's either doubled, maybe tripled. And most foster families or somebody that you go with might not have that money. So it's like, you can't do it because I can't afford it. And now what this bill does is it pays for it. So you can go and you can get your license and you can feel that independence.
Okay.
Yeah, part of it is a financial thing. That was definitely the case in my last foster home, which I was 17, 18. They wanted to help me get my permit and allow me to drive, but they weren't able to because of these insurance issues. It was just too much extra funding that they personally needed. But before that, it was also not so much of a priority. Like we mentioned all these other problems that we had, the driver's license just kind of fell by the mm-hmm. wayside. And hopefully with this bill, it brings it to people's attention. This is something that we need. If you want us to transition into independent living, we can't be independent and not know how to drive at 18 years old, or at least have a license. You know, coming up with a car might be our own responsibility,
but before
that, we got to start taking the training.
Okay. Right. When I went into care, as I said, I was 17, and I asked, hey, can you guys help me get a permit or a license? My mom was totally against it. And they told me that in order for me to be able to do any of it, it had to be court ordered. So I was like, okay, bring it up at the next next docket sounding or whatever. And did they bring it up? No, it was not a priority. They were trying to figure out which was my next placement. And when I turned 18, I didn't know how to drive. I had three kids when I finally learned how to drive at 22 years old. And the way I learned how to drive is I bought a car. And I had to teach myself how to drive.
Mary.
Yes, I had to teach myself how to drive. When I cranked my ignition was when I learned how to drive. And I said, if you don't do it right, you're going to die.
Right. Well, so, I'm glad you did it right.
So I learned quickly. Really quickly.
For me, I got my license when I was 22. When I was in school, I was in the driver's ed course, but there were many different barriers for me. Like, because I was lost in the system, I didn't have a guardian. So I didn't even have my birth certificate, my social security for me to be able to actually get my license. But once I did turn 18, I was on public transportation. Not that there's anything wrong with that,
mm-hmm.
but, having my driver's license or being eligible to get a car, knowing how to drive, knowing how to take care of a car if I had a car. Like Dan, you said, you have to be prepared for these things. If nobody prepped me to do it, how will I do it? And you have to wait. Being on public transportation, you have to wake up 3 hours in advance. Bus rides are too long. I graduated when I was 19, so I was between trying to have a job, still in high school, trying to get to work and be to school on time. And I, because of my troubled past, I had to do night school, virtual school, day school. So I was in school and just really just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yes, Kurt.
And these are some of the things that we actually take into consideration even before this piece of legislation came up. The people who serve these young people, the CBCs, the different agencies that partner with the CBCs. I've never talked to a caseworker who said, no, I don't want my kid to have a driver's license. Mm-hmm. Or because we know you need it for an ID very soon. Mm-hmm. So it's figuring out how we can make that happen for the young people and for the families that are involved. Because I haven't met a foster parent who's opposed to the kid having another ID or their driver's license. They're probably like most parents, you know, I'm not sure if I want you to drive my car, but, you know, let's go get you one. Yeah. So at the end of the day is figuring these things out together. And I've been a part of this system for 18 years. So I've seen the change over the 18 years. And I have to say, we're way better than we were before. Extremely better. That now we're sitting here talking about driver's license. You know, it's a great issue. It's something that we want solved. I don't think anyone a couple blocks from here on the hill will probably disagree because their kids get their driver's license. Mm-hmm. Some senators and reps, I could see them really agreeing with this from the natural process of living. This is very normal, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like the normalcy bill.
Now, will this bill will help them financially as far as securing the license, taking the coursework? What all will it do?
You said it. One of the biggest issues was the insurance, and this offers a reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Also, if no one will sign, they can get ordered by a judge to allow them to take it upon themselves at age 16 or 17 to do that.
Okay. Any closing remarks in this last 30 seconds? We applaud you. I just think you're fantastic, and I mean, we need to clone you all. Yes, ma'am, Kanisha.
I would say with Kurt and the agencies that work alongside of the child welfare system is informing the kids of these resources.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you don't know. And I just want to say thank you for letting us be here and letting us, you know, let other people know, because people are blind to it. Like, nobody knows.
They are.
It's not really out there like that. So thank you for having us here.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming. That's it for this hour. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. Oh, This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.